Okay. Who? All right. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We always start out this show a little bit funky, only because I have to do it all while I'm here, and I don't know how. I just don't have the help, so I try to set it up as best I can, and now you got the Don and Wynn show. Folks, we've got an exciting show for you today. This show is really going to be one you're going to be glad you're here. And if you've got people in the family or friends, neighbors, you should be making calls right now, having them tune in as well, because this is really going to be a top-notch program for you today. And we're just going to have some fun bringing it to you, because it's going to be pretty overwhelming to some of you, and it's going to be pretty incredible. So just tune in, and we'll give out the phone numbers later on for those of you who want to call in. Again, you're listening to the Don and Wynn Show, but today, Wynn is not going to be here. I've asked my twin brother and, of course, partner and friend to be here during this exciting show, and he's going to help me co-host the show. But interestingly enough, he knows nothing about the guest nor what we're going to discuss today. So, Douglas, welcome. Douglas? Bear with me, folks. Do we have anybody there?
I'm here.
You're here. Ah, we lost one of us. Well, folks, this is Eugene. Eugene, it's a pleasure to have you on the Don and Wynn Show.
Thank you very much.
Now, I'm going to try to get... back on another line. Well, folks, I apologize. Phones are going to go off here. It's going to get a little busy. I'm going to try to work through it. But here we are. Eugene, thank you for being on the show.
Oh, you're welcome very much. And I must put out a warning for those that are listening. Do not let your children under 13 years old hear this show. If you drink, get your bottle out. If you smoke dope, light one up. Teetotaler, you better hold your Bible to your chest and you're over your heart, because this is the most disgusting thing you will ever hear in your life, and it's 100% true.
You know, let's get into that, because you were talking basically originally when we had talked a little bit, you were discussing some of the positions that you held. And some of the different things that you had done throughout your career in the military and the various special forces and the various things that you've done. Can you give a short recap of that?
Yes, sir, I can. I'm a victim of MK Ultra Operation Monarch, which, if you've seen Denzel Washington's movie Manchurian Candidate, that's what they did to me. If you haven't seen it, please go see the movie. Officially, I was never in the military, but unofficially, I have five operational names. I am Captain Eugene B. Colson, that's Eugene with a U, SEAL team. I am Delta Force General, Brigadier General Eugene B. Colson. I am Force Recon, Lieutenant General Boyle T. Browning, and I wrote three editions of the classified book, Advanced Infantry Tactics, under that name. I am Ranger, Brigadier General Lynn C. Thompson, made famous as Major Lynn C. Thompson, known as Lawrence of Afghanistan during the Russian War. I am a Brigadier General James T. Wheeler, Green Beret, made famous as Captain Wheeler during the Battle of Jackass Straits of Vietnam, 1274. And I am Air Force Flight Commander Hal Philip Tompkins. And I wrote the classified book at a mind control level of Advanced Fighter Tactics. I am the guy who has figured out the Aurora Project power plant, the three-stage reverse ram guild glass combustion chamber process. And if you've seen anything on the History Channel where they're talking about the Aurora Project, they're talking about three sonic booms in the upper stratosphere associated with three huge vapor donuts. That's the three-stage reverse ram guild blast combustion. and it kicks in at Mach 4.2. And after the three sonic booms, it's doing Mach 7.1. It's running entirely on atmosphere for fuel. And 18 months ago, I figured out the missing links for the X-83, and the X-83 is the aircraft, not spacecraft, that is going to replace the space shuttle. It will do Mach 26.4 with a slingshot escape velocity safety margin of Mach 2. Of course, then they're going to need liquid hydrogen and oxygen for outer space maneuver. And I have made the government know that if they do not make a settlement with me, I will sell it to any foreign power I want to. And I do not want to do this, but if they force my hand, I will.
Thank you. Thank you. I apologize. I think we got Douglas back on with us. We lost him there for a little bit, but we got you on a separate line. Doug?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Eugene, so you're talking a little bit about some of the positions you held. Tell them about some of the manuals that you've written and things that they could check up on, just so, because we're going to lead into a pretty extreme show. And they're probably going to want a little bit, you know, things that they could look up and say, okay.
Well, if you're in the military, number one, if you're on a military base and you have a family, get off. Because at a mind control level, while dad's off to war and mom's at work, the wolves are guarding the sheep. And not every child, but quite a few, they're using mind control tactics on while they're at school. And if the teacher is not part of the operation, they will mind control the teacher, and the teacher won't know they're doing it. And so if you're in the military and you're spec ops, read the third edition of Advanced Infantry Tactics. That will teach you how to think in combat and save your life. It's also got all of my hand-to-hand techniques in it. If you're a fighter pilot, and you have not read Advanced Fighter Tactics by Flight Commander Hal Philip Tompkins, you better read it. It will save your butt in air-to-air combat.
And you wrote that?
At a mind control level, yes, sir, I did.
At a mind control level, explain that.
Well, it's the Denzel Washington's movie Manchurian Candidate. It's just like that. That's 50s and 60s technology. Now they're much more advanced, and they have virtual reality hoods and chairs that you sit in. I mean, I'm a victim of CIA MK Ultra Operation Monarch. That's M-O-N-A-R-C-H. And there is another Monarch program, M-O-N-A-R-K, for the most lethal killers in the world. Now, if any of your listeners have listened to the Daniel Ott Show, where they had Lieutenant Colonel S.C. on there, I was at his house from last Friday till last Wednesday morning. And because I was there, they are trying to kill that man. And I've also been in contact with James Caspold, which was on the George Norrie Show, coast to coast, numerous times. We were in contact for 2 months. I told him that the government has tried to kill me 13 times so far this year that I know of. And he said, well, if you want to be safe, there's this Lieutenant Colonel in North Carolina, which was Lieutenant Colonel S.C., And I didn't hear from him for a week. And I found out later that as soon as he sent me that email from England, he was snagged by the NSA and held for a week. And when I went up to North Carolina, me and the lieutenant colonel were supposed to meet at a gas station because he lives out in the boonies. I waited there for an hour and a half after he was supposed to be there. It took me 2 hours to get in contact, 2.5 hours to get in contact with him on his cell phone or his home phone, because the NSA came out in his driveway, detain him for 2 hours.
So are you constantly on the move?
No, I'm afraid of nothing. God protects me, and I've done many, many things that I should have been dead, and I give God the credit.
But I'm a very bad
individual when it comes to hand-to-hand or combat, but I give God the credit.
So these mind control understandings, wouldn't they consider you a threat of the highest level and eliminate you then?
Well, yeah, they tried to kill me 13 times so far this year that I know of. I should have been dead 15 times.
Is it due to your capability or their incompetence? Because it would seem to me like if a whole government was against you, it would be not that difficult a thing to find you and eliminate you. Am I wrong on that level?
No, you're not wrong. You see, I've told them either they're going to make a settlement with me or they're going to kill me. But when, that man upstairs, that creator God decides that nobody's going to be able to kill you, that there's nothing they can do to you. And I give him the credit.
Well, Cabo, let's say the mind control. What if the man upstairs decided that you were one of those people that would not be put under mind control? Would that help you?
The last mission I did was the first week in January with when I was having the conversation with your brother earlier with Dr. Bell, where 40 metric tons of cocaine was seized in Nicaragua, the wee hours of the morning, the first Wednesday in January. When I woke up on the C-130, heavily drugged, instead of being at a mind control level, I woke up as myself, and I thought, this is really going to be fun. And they didn't realize till halfway through the mission that they weren't dealing with Captain Eugene B. Coulson, but they were really dealing with the conscious me, and the SEAL lieutenant looked like he was going to have a heart attack. And the orders were to kill everyone and to seize the cocaine. And when me and another SEAL captured 21 prisoners, and I countermanded the orders to kill the prisoners and got in a big argument over SATCOM with Protos, who's the president. He was not happy.
Hmm. What gave you this change of heart all of a sudden towards listening to your higher command?
I've always had it. I've sought God ever since I was a small child. You see, it used to be to make a mind control victim like me, and I really want to get into the Area 51 stuff. It used to take, and this was designed by Joseph Mengele in the concentration camps. It used to take, you'd have to take a child from age five on or younger. And now they've got more technology. They can do it to you, and you wouldn't even know it.
Yeah,
I've heard of techniques of interrogation where they pull out the foundations of everything you believe and then throw these sorts of questions at you until a point where you can't really stand on those ideas that you held as truth. And from that point, after breaking you down, that's where they can start delivering their message. Is that true in the case of mind control, or is this more of a futuristic, or not say even a now, where they have wires and electricity, or let's just call it frequency of some frequency that they drive into your brain that allows them to easily manipulate the brain due to the wave patterns moving into it? I mean, I really don't understand.
Well, they do have voice-to-skull capability, and in 2001, they were using that on me, and there's a lot of victims of that as well in the United States, to where I'd hear this voice in my head, and I'd say, well, who the hell is this? And this is God and Jesus. And for 2 months, I believed it. They were trying to make me go crazy because they always operate on your belief structure. And what they will do is, in most cases of most mind control victims, unlike me, they, at a drugged up state of mind control, they will make you have sex with your children. But in my case, they could never do that. So they would fake the pictures. And yes, they do break you down, and it's called the maintenance program. And I would love to do a 3-hour show to explain how to recognize if you're a mind control victim or if someone you know is, because there's over 3 million in this country that they do this to. Over half the ministers in this country are CIA and part of the problem.
Don't you have to some degree, I hear that even in the to hypnotize somebody, that you have to, the person that you're hypnotizing has to in some way be in, have that within their nature to do whatever it is they're being told to do. Otherwise, the hypnosis doesn't work. Was that also true of mind control?
Well, not when drugs are involved. To be hypnotized without drugs, you have to want to be hypnotized, and they can't make you do anything you don't want to. They can't give you post-hypnotic of suggestions. Like when I realized that I was a victim and I had a problem, I put myself into 4 years of psychology and hypnotherapy to remember what they did to me.
What kind of drugs? Is this like PCP or angel dust, the things they used way back in the 60s or 70s or even earlier to induce these things?
I don't know. I'm not the guy that stuck them in me, LSD and beyond, but, you know, I would really like to get into the Area 51 stuff.
Let's do
because
that.
Let's do that. I mean, when we spoke, you were telling me about something that happened in Area 51. And, you know, you didn't get into a heck of a lot of it there. And I'd love to hear it here. I believe it happened on sub-level 5?
It was sub-level 5.1, which means there are other sub-levels. How many there are? They're round structures built under the ground. In 2003, when I was up there with Lieutenant Colonel SC, he had a government computer, a CIA computer. There's only 187 of those, which is an interesting number because code 187 in every police force is murder. And he showed me a picture of a quote-unquote gray alien infant. And then I remembered, and then he remembered. We were remembering all the stuff we were doing. And he is on the run, and they're actually trying to kill him right now from the morning that I left up there. And if anybody's Christian out there, I would suggest you pray for this man. And I don't believe they're going to be able to kill him, but they're going to get close.
From
he
what
got
I...
a call from the White House, the CIA, the NSA, and several other agencies, and said he's got 90 days to get out of the country or he's dead. And they were firing sniper rounds over his head all day long. And what Area 51, sub-level 5.1, in 2003, they took me on a tour. And what that is not the gray alien. There are not gray aliens. They are gray androids. And that's where they create them. And there were several other sub-levels that were part of it. What they do is they clone little girls. And they will impregnate them when they're 13. And then when the fetus is 3 months old, they will harvest it and then put it in one of those jar things and keep it growing. And then they will impregnate it again with another baby. And at 3 months, they will do a thing called a phlebotomy. And what is a phlebotomy? You know, people know what lobotomy is, where they cut off your frontal lobes. Well, a phlebotomy is where they stick a tube into the embryonic sac into the brain of the fetus, and it's fully linked android brain. They pump in this nuclear radioactive material called plutonium, and diseases and DNA from other animals and insects to incubate the grays. And at 3 months beyond that, they harvest it in an operation they call a sectonomy. And if they did not harvest it at a sectonomy, it would try to eat its way out of the embryonic sac and kill it and the female host. This is so horrific.
To me, horrific is genocide going on all over the world, killing people that don't deserve it, and doing it for reasons that are less than sane. But, you know, horrific these days, if they desensitized...
Do you believe in aliens, let's say, or are they created by man? That's a good question. Aliens?
I can tell you what they told me. They said that these did not come from outer space. These were pre-Noah's flood, and they were created by the whatever the mankind was before that. And they sent them into outer space with those anti-gravity devices, which they cannot duplicate yet. They've tried. They're not to the technology level. They were put in hyperstasis, and when it crashed in Roswell, when they died, they reverse-engineered them.
Well, from what I understand...
So in other words, the
aliens, when they were doing interviews on these aliens that I've seen, you know, I've seen a lot of these interviews... On YouTube and so forth, it seems to me like they're more on a spiritual level than anything else, and that's why a lot of the questions that are being asked to them, they really can't give away to that the person will understand, because they're more inclined towards imparting a spiritual understanding. Yet we don't seem, the government or whoever is in doing the interview, don't seem to think that that's very important. Am I wrong on that?
Well, you know, the guys that run this country are Satanists. And when I was waking up, my parents, when they moved in Claremont County, Ohio, they moved to Massey Court. When Creel Helton, who was the first man in the Korean War to go out with a knife all night long, got my old man to join the Ku Klux Klan, because my old man was Klan, and he was very prejudiced. The Klan quickly turned into the Satanic Grotto, and they were told they would be super patriots if they gave me over to the MKUltra program. And interestingly enough, Creel Helton, his last rank held was Major General Creel Helton, Special Ops Advisory. There were 30 murders, or 30 or more murders, in Claremont County, Ohio, where they found dismembered parts of women all over the county. And it never made the national news. Now, they did convict a guy for killing 8 of those women. And in 2001, I contacted them via a phone card, credit card. I never gave my real name to a detective, Bob Evans, and I told him who was really behind it was Creel Helton, and that's why it never made the national news. And I challenge anyone to check the veracity of what I'm saying via a reverse speech machine or documented history.
Well, now here's a question for you, because I love information. I love it. But again, when someone tells me they get information from either sending words backwards, number one, or two, channeled sources, or number three, again, deep trans-channel sources, or number four, mind control sources, whenever I hear some other source than their own, there's always some other source bringing them that information.
Well,
I always then at that point, honestly, at that point I go, Now everybody does, and rightfully so. They should be discerning. They need to go, So why would anybody out there listening to you today, honestly, not go,
And how can you be sure that the information that you
and
know
if you're a mind control
day,
experiment, honest, how do you know that even what
you're
saying now is
real.
Really real?
Yeah, how would you know? How do
if
you
you're
know
bringing
that
us things that may never have occurred, that if we couldn't verify them, or we don't know them, or they never, I mean, it's hard to say, or even maybe you've gotten a lot of facts out of books, you put a few together in your mind, you may have brought them out in an interesting way, and you're following that. Now, it could not know. See, that's the interesting part.
You are incorrect. Would you like me to answer the question?
Absolutely.
Okay, number one, when I started, when I did the reverse speech stuff, and I got the machine when I heard it on the Art Bell show in 96 when they were doing the O.J. Simpson trial things, and I always heard that Worldwide Church, I heard rumors for years that Worldwide Church of God was run by the CIA and Mafia. I thought, once I got one of the machines, I found out it really worked. And I was getting reversals off of these guys saying they're devil worshippers, they're this, they're that, NSA, CIA, Office of Naval Intelligence. I took that as the weakest possible hearsay evidence, and then I went around and I started questioning people that knew these people. And people know a lot more information than they think they know. And I was finding out that this minister was Office of Naval Intelligence, this guy was CIA, this guy was this guy was MI6, this guy was that. And I contacted Ted Gunderson I talked to him on a radio show in 97, the Lou Epton Show out of Las Vegas. And he called me 3 weeks later, and he says, I want to know everything that you know. And Ted Gunderson was a former LAFBI bureau chief. I said, Ted, tell me I'm crazy. I'm making things up. Tell me I'm wrong. He said, no, you're 100% correct. And that was long before I realized that I was a mind control victim, like 3 years.
Can you now, do you really, even though you are piecing the puzzles back because they aren't controlling your mind any longer, do you still
actually, you're wrong there. They still can get inside my head.
They still, so do you feel 100% confident with all the information that you deliver? Do you?
Yes, because when I remembered a repressed memory, I then went out on an investigation of myself, and I talked with countless retired CIA personnel, military intelligence, and military special ops, and people that have heard about me, and I verified every one of my repressed memories. And
verifiable to anybody else but you?
Yeah, to a lot of military personnel and intelligence personnel. Oh, you bet your butt.
But, I mean, would they recognize you? Because you would be pretty easily recognized.
I had a guy that was going to help me join the VFW hall where I live.
I mean, if someone took a video of you or a picture of you and said, and then you gave some of the information and the names and so on, would those people really say, hey, yeah, that's the guy?
I've met countless people that have served under my command. And in fact, before I went up to North Carolina to meet Lieutenant Colonel S.C., I accurately described him, and I said, I called you Ichabod Crane. He says, well, you're not the first person that said that. He looks like a country bumpkin, but he's really a genius. And he's on the run because they're trying to kill him because I was up there.
Gotcha. But then the only way to verify information is by a guy who's on the run that nobody is going to have, you know. Again, that's the things that make you go, hmm.
Well, have you ever heard of the Bunker Hill action in Vietnam?
Have I heard of it? I probably have.
Well, they tell every Marine in boot camp and most Army guys about the one man with conviction who took out the NVA Special Ops Company by himself on 12/23/1973. But nobody ever asked a question beyond that, why that man never got the Medal of Honor. I was the one who did it, and I was 16. I wasn't supposed to be there. That's why it's the most famous classified mission that happened in Vietnam. Many hundreds of thousands of people, most of the people in the military know about it, millions actually, but nobody ever asked the question.
Which was?
How come the man never got the Medal of Honor?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I mean, it wouldn't have been a question I'd asked. You know, I got a million questions.
So what, at the bottom line is, are we to fear our government?
What God condemns the fearful first. If you look at every scripture in the Bible, when God condemns people, he condemns them for being fearful and afraid to do the right thing.
So
no, we're not to fear our government. We are to get on our knees and ask God to straighten this damn government out.
You know, ask him and then do it ourselves. That's my thoughts on the matter.
Have
we ask, but we act.
Have you been able to do unique things like, I don't know if this sort of mind control led to a higher level of awareness? Did it give you any ability to, let's say, remote view? Or,
no, I don't believe that's real.
You don't believe that's real?
No, I don't. I believe that there's, unless God allows you to do it, it's a satanic instrument.
It's satanic.
Remote viewing is.
Unless God does it.
Unless God does it.
Right.
Now, that's
a tough one for
that's
me.
That's a tough one for me, too.
Here, Eugene, when I went through my kundalini, you might call it.
A spiritual awakening, an instantaneous one.
Period of about 6 months thereafter where I could do some pretty bizarre things with my mind. Now,
they program different parts of the brain that are not normally used. And if you're a mind control victim, and if you integrate all those parts of the brain that are not normally used for normal thought process, your intelligence goes through the roof. My martial arts, when I remembered my SEAL training, now I was trained in SEAL class 99 in 76, starting phase 2, which was the underwater. And when I remembered my SEAL training, officially I have a second degree black belt. I used to be a jiu-jitsu instructor.
But you couldn't prove that now. Can you explain why?
Prove what?
Well, would you be able to do that sort of thing now?
My martial art?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. As soon as I remembered my SEAL training, I went and worked out with a 10th degree black belt in Shotokan karate, who was 6'3", 40 years old, and 275 pounds. He was afraid to touch me. And then I went from there, and I went to one of my former instructors in jiu-jitsu, Leo, who's been on the History Channel, as a real bounty hunter who brings down the big bad boys. When we took jiu-jitsu together, I could always whip Leo, but it'd take me 30 to 60 seconds. And when I went over there, as soon as he put my hands on him, I threw him, and before he hit the ground, he was in an intricate wrist or arm lock. And after I did that twice, he says, I don't want to touch you anymore.
Interesting. So you're finding some of the skills are coming back.
How many people do you think, overall, they utilize this mind control on? Would you say that we're dealing in the thousands or in the hundreds or in the tens of thousands?
Over 3 million in this country.
And what is the overall purpose for this manipulation? The overall purpose, let's say.
One world government under Satan, you know, the tribulation and all that stuff.
Now, when you say Satan, do you mean an actual visible being that that is all the negative energy in one spiritual understanding? Or are you talking about something physical, something non-physical, or just a belief system?
It's non-physical. You can't see it, or you would be running like hell from it. And it is a belief system, yes.
So
it's a world government under the belief system of term satanic. Now, does that have a definition? Is it like a Satan? What defines satanic? Because in the ideal understanding, being that everything might, let's say, be one and connected, there's only points along a line. On one line, there's lighter. On one line, there's darker. But it's all on the same line. So,
do you know what the Illuminati and the Jesuits are?
I think I have a fair understanding.
Well, not every Jesuit. There's a lot of Jesuits that are just not priests that think they're, you know, serving God, and a lot of Jesuit priests that are on the lower levels that don't know. But once you get to mid-level and above, they reveal that they worship Satan. The Illuminati are the illuminated ones.
Oh, I believe that.
Worship Satan. And there's people in the Illuminati that are agnostic and atheist, and they don't care. They know about the routine. As long as they get their perks, they're happy.
You know, I almost don't even know if they're really making a religious icon out of some non-existent being. I think what might get them off is the fact that there's no non-existent evil being but them. Fooling everyone into believing otherwise gets them off even more.
I really want to define this just a little bit more, because the idea that they believe in Satan and the idea that this is the whole reason for their mind manipulation and so forth, to have one world, a global understanding revolve around the idea of following Satan. What does that mean, essentially?
Well, you see, they're taught the true beliefs of the Bible, and then they're taught devil worship so that they can truly make a decision with full conscience.
And devil worship allows full conscience?
No, it's just their education. One way to recognize these people.
So does it just take education now for full conscience?
Oh, yes.
That's it? Just education?
Well, there's different levels. They'll take from the dumbest to the smartest. And mid-level and above, one way to recognize them is they never stop going to education. Throughout their life, they're going to this seminar, that seminar. Once they got their college doctorate degree or whatever, they're constantly...
A lot of indoctrination,
So that they can make themselves more valuable to the organization so that they can make more money. Now, one way that they take power is, like, let's say you have a natural disaster, a war, or a contrived financial disaster. While everybody else is in shock, these are trained operatives. They're running around buying up businesses, property, and whatever they can get their hands on at market basement prices.
Sure, they take advantage of that. Well, that's the way...
But they're not going to really have anyone truly smart in their organization. Here's why I believe I actually don't believe facts make you smart. I actually believe the more, and you were already in the beginning of the show, you're saying you come to this understanding that one needs the Creator and one needs to love and get down and really, and I agree with that. And I would say that the heart, if one can love, the more one loves, the smarter one becomes. Why? Because levels of awareness, the more you love everything around you, the more you actually love a greater part of yourself, the more you connect with that other part,
the more knowledge
you
gain.
Greater part of yourself. So if their system is not to involve that idea of oneness where everything is connected, how can they gain the insight of that greater sense of who they are? So there's almost a problem with the whole understanding of following this idea.
Well, you know, these guys do believe in the oneness, but they're trying the oneness under the dark side of the force.
They actively say, you know, I know that it's bad, but I'm going to do it anyways. And yes, that's what gets them off. Again, you can't be as sick as what's going on now throughout the world if they really didn't enjoy it. Smile, get off when they're harming people.
It is
sick and it's perverted, but that's it's
so
human. It's a human
thing.
I
have a request. May we save this for another show, this ideological argument and statement.
You bet.
Let's get into the Area 51 stuff that they really do.
But see, now again, that's going to be coming information that'll be coming from a recessed memory, right?
Repressed.
Repressed, excuse me. So
and
it's,
I did get confirmation on it through my contact last night that everything I remembered was true.
And that was the contact who they're after now?
Well, I'm not going to give you who it is or what.
No, I know,
is.
But that's the one who's on the run now, right?
No.
No, okay. No. Oh, gotcha.
Absolutely not.
Do they have these chains? And I think in Area 51, I don't know if they work with these, but are there areas where there are chambers, where there is certain structures that have been created to allow the heightening of, let's say, your genetics, whether it be, you know, just, I don't know what I'm saying, but like a pyramid, only underground.
You mean like superconducting equipment?
It's nanotechnology, and what these grays are that people call the gray aliens, they're androids. And what they do when they do this phlebotomy is they pump all this nuclear.
Yeah, you were saying you pump germs and diseases and all the nuclear stuff into their heads.
Heavy metals, and what it does at a microbiologic level is it creates circuit boards with all these heavy metals, and the reason they're gray is because they got many heavy metals in them. And then,
but how do they get it to make a circuit board? I mean, you're talking you're going to inject into their heads all this radioactive material, and then the germs and the diseases and whatever else you can throw in, but the sink
through the DNA of whatever they're using. When it dies off or it's still there, the heavy metals attach to it, and it creates a nanotechnology circuit board.
So they're using nanotechnology now that connects right up into the brain and can literally assume functions.
Yes,
I've heard of that through proteins where you inject, let's say you've got a...
you're right on the money.
Where you've got like a chicken that used to might maybe had a dinosaur tail, and if you inject a certain protein into it, which starts to be stimulated, let's say, in the first couple of days, and then it doesn't have that same protein, so the tail then shortens up again and becomes like that of a chicken rather than a dinosaur. But initially, when they're going through the embryonic stage, they actually have that protein creating, so you have more chunks or, let's say, links within the tail 3 days versus 2 weeks after when it again shortens. So I'm assuming that they take proteins and heavy metals and they inject it in. So it's already a protein that creates some sort of a change, but then they alter it with these heavy metals, and that's where I can't see it, because, again, we're dealing with a man-made substance which is joining with a protein, which I guess they can chemically do if they've had enough
research. Yeah, but when the heavy metals are in there, the heavy metals stay. And whether the protein dies off or not, you still have a genetically engineered circuit board.
Well, you got heavy metals on the brain. Okay. Now, how do you
throughout
turn
the
that?
Body? Throughout the body.
Okay, so when they inject in the head, once they get them zapped, it literally will now create an entire circuit board throughout the entire body.
That's correct.
Gotcha.
Plus, they have DNA from insects and other animals to make
the
head so big, so that they can have more material in there. I'm sorry?
What are these grays used for once they are incubated and they're taken out of incubation? What are they?
Well, how long have they been around? For how long do you think they've been down there? And then the second question, what are they used for?
What I was told was they were created before Noah's flood.
No, I mean now, since we've reversed engineered them.
No, well, when did they start, Donnie?
Since 1948.
Okay, since 1940 they've been hidden from us, but and what's the main purpose of them?
Well, I can't tell you, you know, they use them to maintain the facility. And when I was in the facility, they took me on a full tour of level 5.1. And they told me, you should be greatly honored because of this. I said, why? I said, because we're using cloned fetuses of you. And they took me into the, where the babies were, and they were drinking this red liquid instead of milk. And I said, what is that? They said, that is the blood from the 13-year-old host. And then once they start to be able to eat, the first thing they eat is the first baby that that 13-year-old girl has.
Sounds a lot like that movie Alien.
Don, I want to hear this. Go ahead.
And they eat that, and they ingest the proteins, and then they took me to the toddler section. It takes a year and a half for these to reach maturity. They took me to the toddler section. It was Chucky's playpen from hell was written on the outside of the door. And I was there with the six scientists, and I said, And they had a camera that did a 180. It was on the back wall, and it could watch everything. And I saw the remains of one of the girls that they fed them to, and I said, gee, can you get that camera to turn on the window on the door so I can see what I look like under on the camera? And they said, sure. The guy had the master, keyboard thing in front of him because he could carry it. It was mobile, which would interact with the main control room, which was in the center. And I said, gee, I thought you guys said that these were asexual. And they said, they are. I saw a penis on one of those. And three of the scientists go, where? I said, open the door. He's over there. And they opened the door, and I shoved them all three in the room. And then I knocked the other three scientists out. And then I opened the door, threw them in one at a time, and then I went in, and I knocked all the other three out because these things are trained that food, they can only eat when a body is laying on the ground, and they started eating these things. And when they bite you, it's like the Komodo dragon. You are going to die. And then I ran to the control room, and I hit the emergency button, and I said, send all the scientists down here. We've got an emergency down here. There was an accident. And so they all came down the elevator banks. They came in the room. And when they came in the room, they also had a very big muscle-bound, one of the grays. That was the first one I took out. I crushed its larynx, and then I broke everyone's neck. Then I turned every switch off because there were multiple sub-levels that were the same, that were run by the Greys. They'd be doing all this scientific work, monitoring all these poor little girls, harvesting these evil things. And I turned all the switches off, and then I smashed the control panel with the chairs. And the guy that they sent me in, that talked me out of that room, was Lieutenant Colonel S.C.
Why did they let you live?
Because they've tried to kill me numerous times over the years.
Why'd they let you live that time? Because it seems like you had a hell of a...
Under such protection where you probably have tens of thousands of people.
I can't even imagine, though.
How did you survive that?
God protected me.
Yeah, but see, we're talking about you can kill the control panels, seal it up, get all the rest coming down, pipe them on down, get these scientists in here, and you take care of them too, and you walk away with a great story.
That's kind of fantastic.
That's another thing.
The whole thing is fantastic.
Why would they let
God
you back
is
up?
Fantastic.
Well, it's God's fantastic. We're all fantastic, but it doesn't make a story fantastic. I can tell you that.
Well, has Dr. Bell been able to verify the Code Red lockdown situation on Area 51, which we talked about earlier today?
I don't know, but I do know this. There are. There's so many things I don't know and so many things I do know. And to me, they got to kind of add up. And I love to be able to verify things.
Then let's start talking about the military operations and the weapons. And you can verify that through former spec operators and intelligence.
Like a lot of data. Like a lot of people spend a lot of time poring over a lot of data and getting a lot of good information in their noggin. I do the same. I'm good at it. I've made it a career.
Have you ever heard of the Remington M16 long rifle, series 1 through 7, the sniper weapon?
I'm sure it exists.
It's a classified weapon.
I'm sure it exists.
This is highly classified. Have you heard of the SR-72 or the BSR-73? The Aurora Project or the X-83? This is highly classified.
I'm sure they all exist, but remember, where do they exist? See, they exist in your memories, or are they real?
I remembered them first, and then I verified their existence, yes.
Okay, so some of those things you got verified.
What if I told you that I had a dream once, and in this, and I'm telling you the truth, it was a dream that occurred after my awakening. And I actually was in and it's the most vivid dream I can ever remember. I was actually, it felt like I was in a spaceship, and there were three different color beings. One was gray. It had a very large forehead. I could, you know, I could almost, if I was a good drawer, I could draw it.
Well, the first question I ask you is, if are you, in fact, a mind control victim?
You know, that's hard for me to believe on any level.
On any level, yeah. I guess you got
to
kind
of
know.
I need to explain how to recognize it and how to come out of it. And I can do that.
Well, I've always been around my family, except for periods when I've been, you know, hermitized, and that's simply due to myself because I need to be alone. I like to think a lot. But I saw a green, let's see if this makes sense to you, because maybe you can verify this. I also saw a green being. It was the one that was leading me around. And then I saw something that felt far more worldly, that kind of led the whole structure, and it was more of a purple-colored being. Now, that might seem kind of strange to you, but I remember in my dream being so vivid, realizing that the gray was just working on some sort of, he was like in a laboratory, and he was just sitting there working on stuff, and the green, he was kind of showing me around, and then at the very end, for some reason, I felt what felt like the mother of it all, so that it was more of a purple being. So I came away from that really feeling very, very good, feeling like I'd been shown something very, very special. But again, I felt like it was just a dream. Now,
well, then I have to ask you a series of questions. When you close your eyes to go to sleep at night, do you see total blackness or do you see flashing lights, sometimes like a lightning storm?
Oh, I used to have beams of light, like as big as your arm.
Let me ask the next question. Sunlight going
through my head.
Next question, when you think your thoughts, are they totally verbal or are they in conceptualizing, seeing pictures, and your thoughts are a little bit of verbal with conception?
Oh, that's a tough one. In most of my, when I...
See, I've had all that too.
Yeah,
I can focus myself in a dark room where all I see is light.
Yeah,
that light is all the way around me. I can do that at any time, at will. Nothing needs to be out extraneous to myself.
But
this
was the funny part. This actually hit me for weeks period. This was happening for 2 or 3 weeks where it felt like somebody was hitting me with, you know, it's about as thick as your arm. It would be a late sunlight, but it would be super intense, super yellow.
It feels like it's burning through your head.
Yeah, and it would drive out one
head.
Just
like
someone
hitting your head with a laser beam.
How many times have you two had feelings that you're above yourself, floating, and watching down?
Never.
How about your brother?
This is what's interesting. Only a very few times, and it's basically my feeling where I was beyond myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've only left my body a couple of times. Very weird.
Oh,
thing.
We're talking about leaving the body?
How many
or just floating
have you
above
had
yourself?
Anxiety attacks and migraine headaches connected with?
Migraine
I never
headache.
Have a headache.
Never.
Okay.
Never. In fact, I feel so refreshed, so invigorated.
Yeah, they'd make
so
me
empowered.
Cry. By the way, every time
oh,
that
yeah,
light
emotional.
Hit me in the head,
it's
every time for those 2 weeks, that light, like, I would sit there at nighttime and I'd meditate. I'm funny, I'd meditate with my eyes open. I actually hear the sound of consciousness in the back of my head. It sounds like infinitely high pitch, you're in Transformers all over, like a football field of Transformers, or you're sitting in a jet plane right by the engine, but infinitely higher. So I
have
hear
that. Have
you
ever heard the sound? Have you ever seen that old 50s movies where they were renovating a high rise and they found this ancient spacecraft with these mummified cricket-type creatures, and at the end of the movie, they were playing the sound of it because one materialized in electricity and was growing and growing and growing, and it was like the sound of millions of bumblebees, bees, and crickets at the same time.
Very high-pitched, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard different
things. I mean, very
things.
Painful
usually...
when you hear it.
No, I've never had
like
a lot of...
It's almost like a steady stream.
Yeah, it's never painful.
It doesn't change its pitch.
Now,
it's
a high-pitched clacking will occur, but that's only when I've walked out way out in off-world. Not off-world, but it feels like it. In very remote places, and you'll hear very high metallic clackings, and you'll only do that, and if you move your ear just a millimeter, I promise you, just a millimeter, you won't hear it. And it'll catch you kind of off-guard.
Welcome to the world of mind control, because they've done some of it to you and more of it to your brother.
Oh, see, I truly don't believe that.
Even
why?
Even if they do, it's only
only going to benefit us. You know, the neat thing is it's all in your perception. And you know what drives the perception? Your attitude. You're getting it because we spoke earlier. But if the attitude is peaceful and joyous and beautiful, and it'll be remarkable, too. It'll give you the miracles that you want to put in motion.
All these sorts of transformations that have occurred over a period of time, about a six-month period for me, they led to extremely high levels of connectivity and love. And I could do some pretty strange things with the mind. Like, for example, I remember meditating at one point, and rather than seeing one picture, you know, we all focus on one picture at once. Well, imagine being able to focus on infinite number of pictures in a 360-degree circle and seeing them all at once as clearly as you and I would look at one object, and all at the same time.
Well, that's because they program different parts of the mind that aren't normally used. It might be
but see, maybe it's not all through programming. Maybe we're just really super conscious people. To rob that of somebody. And
there are
over
3 million victims.
Oh, sure, and there might be 10 million. Might be 3 million that are real and 3 million that believe they're real and 3 more million that are coming behind them.
Well, the question is, how bad could it be if those feelings...
I don't think these corruptors, this criminal class, and we're going to have to end here soon, but I don't think the criminal class, honestly, the few that are that whacked out really have that much of a following, except for a few that really don't know much. That's what I think.
There's probably 3 million in this country that are involved in that criminal class.
That I don't doubt. It's unfortunate, but they're the minority.
But if those 3 million have been mind-controlled, let's say, like me,
no, I'm
for
talking
example,
about the perps. I'm talking about the perps.
Okay.
Well, we've got 1 minute. We do have 1 minute because a fireside chat with Zany Mystic is coming up, and that's a show that I love and everybody loves because it's one of the finest shows on the network.
Do you have a website where you'd like people to go that you would like to mention right now on air?
I'm computer illiterate. You know, I can turn the computer on and cuss at it.
Is there, if you had to impart any one thing to the people right now that are listening to this show, what would that be?
What would that be?
Well, the one thing I would like to impart is we need to do a 3-hour show on explaining how to recognize if you're mind controlled or someone you know is, because everyone knows some of these people.
Hmm. Well, we could definitely have another show. I'm sure there's lots of material to discuss.
Absolutely. And folks,
and
why
don't... I verified this stuff with Ted Gunderson, Jack McLam.
Well, let's get into a prayer, because that's what we originally started out this program with, and that's what I'd like to close with. I'd like to call on the energies of light, those which are really in service to others, that are propelled for the service of others and for the highest good of all concerned. So that's really a keepsake for this program, and we'd like our audience to join us here now as we call in the light.
And would you call me after the show?
Yes, I can give you a jingle after the show.
Okay, great.
Stick around. Let's call in the light together. This is more of focused intent.
May God impart wisdom to us all.
May God impart wisdom to us all. May we earn that wisdom. May we gain it through our travels. You know, folks, loosen up and allow yourself the peace and the love and the joy that is your very being. Allow it to come out and allow it to magnify that light which is you. And send it out, because you don't need to take it all in all the time. You are that fountain of light. So send it out to those you love. Your light's as important as the earth. It's important as the sun. And it's as important as mine and those that are listening. So let's combine those energies. We hope that the energies of the Council of the Elohim and those we hope are the raw energies will join us and any other service to other energies that are out there and those that are off planet and on. If they would care to join us in this celebration of life, add your light to ours and let's send that out to the places that need it the most, like those in Africa and those in Israel, and those in Iraq and Iran, and those in many of our administrative buildings here, and municipal buildings, and in law enforcement agencies, and the Capitol building, and many of the underground facilities too. Let's send that light there. Because our light combined is the many, it is the joy, and it is that oneness we feel. And I thank you for being here tonight. Eugene, it was a pleasure. thank you for being here tonight. And Douglas.
Amen. Amen.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Douglas, it was an honor having you with us.
Thank you.
Because I love you, my brother.
Love you, too.
And Eugene, you're in my heart. I love you, too, and I love my audience, and I love BBS Radio.
always a pleasure.
Folks, thank you. We'll be right back with a fireside chat. Don't go away.
I love you.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone. And we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.